hello to you. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry from eejournal.com and sponsored by Avnet. I'm Amelia Dalton, your driver at the wheel, your personal GPS for this week's engineering innovation road trip. So grab some Cheetos, one of those big old cans of iced tea, and your best algorithm for routing the traveling salesman problem, and we're hitting the road. First stop will be model-based design. That's right, my fish frying companion for the first leg of this EE journey is Noam Levine from the MathWorks. Noam and I are going to play that license plate game, check out some ice racing, and, dig into the details of model-based design for SOCs. Check it out. Hi, Noam. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure, Amelia.
All right, let's talk about X-Fest. Now, what are the key topics that the MathWorks wants to highlight at this year's X-Fest?
Well, a lot of folks know about MathWorks because of MATLAB, and even those who may not have touched MATLAB since they were in college. But at X-Fest, we're going to be showing that there's much more to MathWorks than MATLAB, and we're going to be talking a lot about model-based design with both MATLAB and Simulink. So model-based design starts with a multi-domain simulation model, from which everything else is derived. Your detailed algorithm design, your system-level test benches, HDL IP cores and Linux executables targeting the Xilinx Zinc SoC, all generated from a single tools environment. And because you're starting in simulation, you have the freedom and capability to explore a variety of design options and verify your algorithm and system operation before you commit to hardware, maybe even eliminating a prototype build stage or two. You can carry over tests you developed in simulation to verify hardware operation, and that's a huge time saving according to a lot of our customers. You couple that with over a decade of code generation experience, and the engineers can now spend more of their time thinking up and designing cool stuff and not spending their time tracking down bugs introduced by hand coding errors. Our overall goal is to help you find errors earlier when they're easier and cheaper to fix, and get you to production faster with a high degree of confidence in your final product.
So what kind of designers are you expecting to attend?
That's a great question. Avnet does a great job pulling in a broad range of designers to X-Fest. And we find, though, it's the systems engineers who need to take a real big picture view that really benefit from model-based design with MATLAB and Simulink. Also, the R&D folks, who may now have to maybe beg, borrow, or steal resources from other groups to code up algorithms for them to try on hardware, are really going to like a rapid prototype environment with the C and HDL code generation we can do for the Zinc platform. It allows them to get stuff up and running in hardware on their own without the need to rely on other groups to write code for them.
Okay, so will there be any new applications or methodologies that we'll be seeing at this year's X-Fest that possibly we haven't seen before?
Absolutely. I've talked a little bit already about model-based design for SoC design, but it's not just for SoC design. So in addition to our hardware-software workflow for Zinc, at X-Fest we'll be showing off some RF modeling and simulation capabilities. We've been working with fellow X-Fest sponsor Analog Devices, and we've created a simulation model of their AD9361 RF Agile transceiver using MATLAB, Simulink, and a product called SimRF. And ADI has verified that model against their silicon. So what's really neat about this is it allows RF engineers to explore those design trade-offs, simulating actual components so that they can get an end-to-end picture of how their system's going to perform before they go through the expense of building it. It also gives engineers the ability to probe inside the box anywhere in the signal chain, which is something you can't do with the actual silicon. So this is, I think, a real valuable tool for software-defined radio and other communications applications.
All right, let's talk about the demo side of things. Now, tell me, what kind of demos are you guys going to be showing this year?
Sure. Well, what we're going to be showing is we're going to be walking through a demonstration of that AD9361 RF transceiver. We'll be able to demonstrate how you can simulate that entire signal chain, take a look at how parameters you can change in simulation will affect your system performance, and then we're working in conjunction with Analog Devices, folks can see the actual hardware. So you get a view both of the device and simulation, and elsewhere on the exhibit floor at X-Fest, you can see the device itself. We're also going to be having some demonstrations of our hardware-software workflow for Zinc. So engineers will be able to see how you can take a Simulink model, partition that between what's going to run in programmable logic and what's going to run on an ARM processor, and show that turnkey rapid prototyping environment for Zynq.
All right, Noam, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you used to be a race car driver, so, Noam, how the heck did you get into that business?
I got into race cars in an interesting way. Maybe it's something that folks in the Northeast might appreciate. I actually met somebody at a driving event on a frozen lake. This is something we do as a car control event, ice racing with the Boston chapter of the BMW Club. I met a guy there. He brought a Toyota MR2 race car to the ice, proceeded just to do a lot of donuts down the ice, but we became friends anyway. I started crewing for him and then ended up building my own car.
That is so cool. I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Noam. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Likewise, Amelia. Thank you.
Next up, Coventor. That's right. My buddy Tom Flynn from Coventor and I are flying down the semiconductor highway, MEMS in hand, with some mighty physics-based acceleration under the hood. Let's go.
My guest today is Tom Flynn, VP of Sales and Business Development at Coventor. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, what does Coventor do? Now, I know, but my audience may not know.
We harness compute power to help individuals do virtual prototyping of MEMS and semiconductor process integration studies.
So let's talk about the MEMS side of it first. Expand more about that.
People talk about that it takes somewhere between 3 and 7 years to bring a MEMS product to market. We help accelerate the learning process, the design process, by having physics-based simulators that allow people to look at the electrical performance, the mechanical performance, the fluidic effects, all together incorporating the driving circuitry and package effects using our technology.
Let's talk about the semiconductor side. Now, you guys have a virtual prototyping business. Tell me more about that.
For bringing on a new process, it's my understanding it costs about $2 billion in 3 years to develop a next generation process, whether it's at 10 nanometer or 14 nanometer. Things have radically changed from planarized transistor technology to now all FinFET based. And so what we do is accelerate people's learning and insight by allowing people to submit designs and a process technology file and see the resulting three-dimensional structure that comes from that combination. So they get to visualize in 3D the result of design and technology interaction, and they also get to interrogate it as a database where they can do virtual metrology studies to look at things like contact area, do all kinds of process variation, design variation to try to improve yield. We've also added a new feature called structure search, which is, you know, like being able to look not at a specific place for a specific measurement, but asking for a criteria like, give me all of the areas within the design where we have a minimum width of X. And it'll search that entire database and flag those areas that have maybe minimum insulator areas or perhaps opens and shorts that you wouldn't see, or sacrificial type layers that haven't been completely exposed and erased out of the design.
So there was a paper released by IBM that referenced you guys recently. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, last year we did a paper at SysPad where we were able to show the impact of using virtual prototyping on being able to solve really challenging problems in the semiconductor area. IBM had a critical area, a PN junction in their technology, where they had a device that worked fine as a nominal structure, but when you put it through a lot of manufacturing variability, it simply didn't yield to the right level. In fact, it was yielding at below 2 sigma. They used a massive virtual prototyping study where they ran over 2,500 simulator cases and changed both areas of the design and the process where the nominal radically changed. In fact, many people would call the changes very unintuitive or non-intuitive, and the result was that it yielded at close to 5 sigma. And they published this paper, and it's available on our website.
All right, Tom, we just spoke a second ago. Hang gliding? You're into hang gliding? What's that about, Tom?
I always wanted to fly, so I think my life has been surrounded by 3D in a former company and now here with MEMS and 3D semiconductor FinFET processes, so this is maybe just an extension of my love of work.
How many times have you gone hang gliding?
I think the number of times is different than the number of years. So I've been hang gliding since 1997. So about 17 years. My most recent hang gliding was off of Big Sur, which was just outrageous and really interesting. So, you know, flying off at 3,200 feet and landing at the beach is spectacular.
All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me, Tom. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
Coming around the bend is X-Fest. Didn't you see the signs? Because they were everywhere. Yep, Avnet and Xilinx are excited to announce the technical program for this year's X-Fest, a global series of seminars offering practical how-to training for FPGA, DSP, SoC, and embedded systems designers. Don't miss this opportunity to learn more about recent innovations in technology and product development methodology from Xilinx, and to experience a deep dive with Avnet technical experts into the key technology domains where Xilinx FPGAs offer unique, high-impact, and cost-savings capabilities. Events start in September in North America. All right, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want to register this very instant for this year's X-Fest, you can. I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com that will take you directly there. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can also monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, oh yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus as well. We also have a YouTube channel that is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 15th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.